Psoriatic arthritis symptoms can be unpredictable.
I had joint pain, and I couldn't move like I used to.
I needed relief.
I got Cosentyx.
It helped me move better.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for people 2 years of age and older with active psoriatic arthritis. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com.
Ask your rheumatologist about Cosentyx.
Off the ball, GAA.
The game is much more progressive. It's been much more engaging for people to watch and more entertaining for supporters.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Proper value from a proper bookmaker. Every day at Cheltenham. 18+gamblingcare.ie.
Well, a very good morning and welcome along to the Cheltenham Show. It's day three of what's been an incredibly dramatic few days from Prestbury Park. We're at the halfway point, but somehow it feels like we're further down the road. And once again, I'm joined on the line by John Duggan, who's on course, and also Johnny Ward as well. Just a quick reflection on yesterday, guys, because I don't know about you, and maybe Johnny, I'll start with you, but I feel like it threatened my sense of belief, which was the sort of the presence of Michael O'Sullivan given the win of Marine Nacional and Jazzy Maddy within 40 minutes of each other. Johnny?
I think you've nailed it there, Tom. Yeah, to happen once in the sense of Marine Nacional. I mean,
Oh, I think we're having a slight delay on the line there with Johnny. I think he's a little bit behind. John, we'll go to you on that because it must have been magic on course.
It was magic on course, Tom, and I hope you can hear me.
Yeah,
It was. It was emotional. It was spiritual. It was mysterious, to be honest. It was something that was very, very unusual and coincidental. It is definitely one way you could describe it, but I would probably describe it in higher terms, to be honest. I would describe it as spiritual and mysterious. And what are the chances of both Marine Nacional and Jazzy Maddy winning at the Cheltenham Festival 2 years on from Michael's passing? He wrote them 2 years ago on the Tuesday, and then the following day after the race was named in his honour on Tuesday, the Michael O'Sullivan Supreme Office's hurdle, the same two horses who haven't come here and won in the interim, won again, Marine Nacional in the champion chase, and then Jazzy Maddy in the grand annual chase. And very emotional in the winner's enclosure with Sean Flanagan bringing Marine Nacional home. And then you had Barry Connell there, obviously was being the owner and trainer of Marine Nacional and gave Michael the opportunity a couple of years ago. And Charlotte, Michael's girlfriend, was there as well in the winner's enclosure, and his brother Adam rides and walking on air today in the Kim Muir chase. So it does definitely make you ask questions about everything, and in a way that is very mysterious. And I think so much has been spoken in the last few weeks, and maybe sometimes the words, even though we're communicators, you don't even need to say anything at this stage. You just need to, I suppose, think about it and reflect on what actually happened and the completely strange and beautiful way that it all transpired yesterday from a point of view of the unlikely event of these two things happening and then both happening.
Yeah, it was absolutely, it was incredible and it was beautiful. Johnny, are you back?
Yeah, I am, Tom.
No, he's not. He's gone. We might just move on there, John, because we just quick reflection on yesterday as well. We had the drama as well as that incredible moment in that 40 minutes, the drama as well of favourites getting beaten, you know, and jumping drama and horses just really struggling to get around this course this year, whatever it is. You know, we had it with Ballyburn made horrendous mistakes and then John Vaughan the same.
Well, also as well, for a lot of horses, sometimes they might run on deep ground in Ireland in races that don't go at much of a pace. You're always going to get a pace to Cheltenham. Jockeys are going to want to get position. They'll want to get their horses into a rhythm, and then that will put other horses under pressure. So we saw with Mashburn on Tuesday that a one bad mistake cost him. We saw with the Ballyburn that he nearly sent Paul Townend out the side door. And like, if you want to mind these horses, if you want to bring them back in the future, then there's no point in trying to make amends to a degree where it could actually, you know, have a negative effect on the horse going forward. So with Ballyburn, you could try and hunt him around and then see if he can come back into the race. But the race was done because the other horses had too much length gained. And then we had them with John Vaughan. Did make a mistake at the course last year behind Alexander de Nuts. And then he made another shuddering error. And that, once again, even though he finished second, cost him the race. Marine National ended up winning by 18 lengths. It is called jumps racing for a reason. We saw it on Tuesday in the Champion Hurdle. We saw it yesterday. And then one mistake can put your horse back. And look, I mean, all the horses are safe and sound. And I think that it's not a bad thing that jumping is tested. I really lament the way the Grand National has got at Aintree. I just think it's almost like a 4 mile hurdle now, and it's not the race it was. I grew up watching. I mean, why I love horse racing, Tom, and you ride horses, is because of steeplechasing. I love to see the art of a horse jump a fence magnificently, and it's almost like something. It's an art for me. My favorite horse when I was growing up was a horse called Lord Galen, who won the 1997 Aintree Grand National because he jumped on the inside from fence to fence just beautifully. And that's what you want to see. You want to see great jumpers win races. And when I'm looking for kind of, I suppose, my own thoughts about Caught a Star, for example, was never a biggest fan of him, because when you're talking about the greats of the game, because Denman to me was a better jumper than Caught a Star, as quick and as good an engine that Caught a Star had and as prolific as his winning record was. I want to see great steeplechasing, and that's why Gallop on des Champs for me is a great horse, because he's such a good jumper.
Yeah, and you're really veering into the kind of arguments we have in my house there as well. But I've got to say, I'm not in your Denman camp. I'm very much in the Caught a Star camp. And as well as that, you're dead right, though. You're dead right on the jumping thing. And Masterminded is one of those horses that always springs to mind for me. When you talk about a horse that could just clear a fence and get away from it and take lengths out of the field by not being the biggest or maybe not having the biggest engine, but just that jumping ability to really put them into a race and make others work and make other horses make mistakes. We might move on to this afternoon's action then as well, but I think we have Johnny on the phone now. So, Johnny, are you third time lucky?
I am, Tom. Sorry about that. Yesterday's Wi-Fi, not so good today. Just on what you were saying there, and going back to what happened yesterday. You know, when John Bond went from the Queen Mother, Marine National was second favourite, and there were a few horses in that race who kind of didn't perform. So I suppose you could put a bit of logic to the whole thing. Marine National was fairly well fancied second favourite. But to add that into Jazzy Matty, I just echo what you're saying at the start of the show, in the sense that you have the two of them together, and we do question your belief system, because it was a special, special day. I have to say, it was the first time that I genuinely was crying after a race, hearing the anecdote about Michael Irvin going in and spending 15 minutes with the horse the other day. Like, I couldn't kind of help myself at that stage. And it was, you know,
no, just, we're going to move on to the Ryanair, because I think Johnny is not communications are not playing ball. John, we mentioned we love to see a chaser that jumps and runs and
what
just gets out in front. And Ile France is definitely one of those horses. He's, according to Patrick Mullins in the Independent this morning, he's going to set this race up for Factor File. But with the Ryanair, we are set for what will be a brilliant jumping challenge, most likely, because the test is going to be set not just by Ile France, but also Protectorat as well, who's quite forward going.
Yes, I'm not the biggest Protectorat fan. I think the ground has gone against him. I think the ground is drying out all the time here, Tom, at Cheltenham, where it's good to soft officially, but I think it's drying out. And Look, I love Ile France. I mean, this is why I want to watch racing. I want to watch these exuberant jumpers, these horses that go out in front and jump brilliantly and put every other horse to the sword and test the jumping capabilities of the other runners in the field. And then you have the question mark, well, will the horse get home? Will he have taken so many lengths out of the other horses that he can take a breather and then he can get home? Or will he then start to wander and fade? And will he get caught? Will he run out of petrol? As what happened to King George with Banbridge nabbing Ile France kind of agonizingly. There was a horse in 1973 called Crisp who jumped the Grand National fences like a two-miler. And he was only caught in the very shadow of the winning post by Red Rum. It's probably the best race of all time from a jumping perspective. Ile France is that type of horse. He just jumps out, he jumps and he gallops. And the fascinating thing about it is, my uncle once said to me, and he was a religious man, he's no longer with us. I'm not the most religious person myself. And I said, well, I'm not so sure there is a God. And he told me, how can you prove that there is no God? How can you prove that there isn't one? And it's like, how can we prove that Ile France doesn't act on an undulation track? Because he's only ever been on flat tracks, Oitoy and Kempton. So people say, well, he's not going to act on Kempton. What's the evidence that he doesn't act at Cheltenham? And that's the thing that's going to be fascinating to see. If he does act around here, he wins. If he doesn't act around here, the hill, he'll be paddling up the hill. And also, he's burst blood vessels in the past. That's probably a negative if you're looking to back Ile France. So it is set up for Factophile, who will need to be better than he was his last two runs. But if he reproduces as John Durkin chase form, he should be the likely winner. I think there's a bit of confidence behind him. Jungle Boogie is not one to rule out of it, 14-1. But he ran very well in the Gold Cup last year and will appreciate the step back in distance here.
Yeah, Ile France, Johnny, can he do a Vautour? Vautour, remember, was reeled in by cue card in the King George and then went and got it right in the Ryanair a couple of months later. Will Ile France do that? Or are you keeping the faith with Factophile?
Yeah, I'm giving the faith to Factophile. I mean, listeners to the show may remember me putting up Grange Clare West on the basis of his run at the last hit Leopardstown. He absolutely bombed at Navan, really weak in the betting, and I'm still mystified by that. So it really was disappointing he couldn't beat him. But I feel he's kind of been ridden a bit by Mark Walsh since the John Durkin, with a view to getting Galopin Deschamps beaten over his optimum trip, maybe at his optimum track. He doesn't have anything like that today, and he did beat him in the John Durkin, and also he was impressive in at Cheltenham last year. So the track should be fine for me. Ile France, like, he's reportedly prone to bursting, hasn't gone to Cheltenham before. It has been an incredible week, Bugsy, in terms of, not to mention all the emotion of yesterday with Michael O'Sullivan, but the amount of either odds on favourites or heavy odds on favourites in running who blundered their chance away in the grade ones. I've never seen anything like it. I mean, what are we talking? Masborough, Constitution Hill, Stateman, and then you're on to like yesterday's action as well, where you've obviously Calixios coming down at the last, but the same with Ballyburn, who basically blundered his chance away as well. And we've had a lot of hot pots beaten. In fact, Foyle isn't odds on, yes, but I don't really see a hole in him, to be honest. I feel that, you know, having Ile France in the race has only helped to get him into a rhythm, because he's been reined back, as JD alluded to there. In fact, Foyle's been kind of reined back in races where it hasn't really suited him. A bit like Ballyburn yesterday, where, you know, the race was turned into a complete mess for him. So I don't see any particular reason not to back Foyle.
Just on fact, do you think the bookies should be brave given what's happened in the last couple of days? I mean, they surely have absolutely filled the bag for the last 48 hours. Do you think they might just go and stand Factophile here and to you a bit?
I don't know if that even happens anymore, to be honest, JD. You know, JD might agree, you know, the bookmaking industry has changed. They should be having a good week, but you are looking for alternatives to Factophile in terms of the bookmakers looking for something, and he's a very, very solid horse, really. You know, you can kind of rely on him. So,
The highest achievers among us are the people still striving, still reaching for something. The people who aren't satisfied to stay where they are and want to keep climbing higher. And it's those people who approach the impossible and embrace it. There's a vehicle for people like that. It's called the Defender. The Defender is an icon reimagined for a new generation of explorers through thoroughly modern design. Its interior is modern and functional, with rich material finishes and quality craftsmanship. When you're in a Defender, you can tell the interior is built for purpose. Luxury appointments throughout and practical storage options ensure you adventure in comfort. This is a vehicle capable of great things and engineered to meet challenges head on. Wherever you're headed, experience the Defender's legendary capability, both off-road and on. And there's a family of vehicles for Defender. Meet the Defender 90, Defender 110, and the 8-seat Defender 130. Are you ready to embrace the impossible? Explore the Defender at LandRoverUSA.com.
Join me, Dr. Panico, with Cindy Lauper and Chef Michelle Bernstein to talk about plaque psoriasis and psoriatic arthritis, the potential connection and risk of developing permanent joint damage.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis 300 mg dose and adults with active psoriatic arthritis 150 mg dose. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur.
Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or cosentyx.com/Cindy.
How sharp Ballyburn was yesterday, but in fact, Foyle went off around even money, it wouldn't shock me.
We'll move on to the Stairs Hurdle then, because it will be another short price favourite. We have, you know, it's a kind of race where we've had lots of repeat winners in the past, the likes of, you know, Flora and Porter, Barracuda, Big Bucks, English Driver. Do you think, John, that Tia Hupo can be the latest to add his name to that list?
I wouldn't be backing him. He was heavy ground last year, which I think suits him. Jack Kennedy, we're not sure if he's going to ride, because obviously he didn't ride the last races yesterday. He's only been recovering the last week from a leg break. So if Jack Kennedy doesn't ride to Yupu, that's negative for his chances. He's weak in the market. And I'm going to look in elsewhere. I'm looking for Lucky Place to maybe give Nicky Henderson a change in look after kind of a wretched couple of days for his fortune with Constitution Hill and John Bond disappointing with jumping mistakes. Maybe there might be a bit of redemption for Lucky Place and Nicky Henderson. The horses were right out of form last year, and he still ran well in the Carl Cup. He's had a couple of good wins this season. I think, look, it's a bit of a taking on trust that he gets the trip, but if he does get the trip, I think he's one of the improvers in the race. Like, there's a huge amount of confidence behind the work of Home by the Lee, but Home by the Lee has been here three times and not won. So at 10 years of age, that to me is a bit of a negative for him to win outright. Bob Allinger has been very well supported in the market the last few days, into as short as 10 to 1 in places now. Nemi and Lion, once again, if he got the trip, he could be a complete fly in the ointment, because he definitely has the pace to run over 2 miles. And he's a 25 to 1 shot. Rocky's Diamond, I can't have as a 5-year-old. Crambo, don't think the course suits him. So, look, I'm with Lucky Place each way for Nicky Henderson to have a bit of change in fortune. Nicky's horses, on the whole, are in good form. He just deserves it.
A bit of luck, no doubt. Johnny, what about you? In that Stairs Hurdle, I mean, did Puppy Power or Davy Russell bring a helmet or a back protector? Because the way things are going for Gordon Elliott, his luck is just out as well, isn't it?
Yeah, he looks a bit out, but I suppose, if you look at some of the other yards, when Nicky Henderson related to the start yesterday in the Queen Mother, some trainers are having a difficult week, but it's all in the context of it's only halfway. I definitely got the impression from Gordon at Friday night and on Friday that once he gets a winner, it will be the proverbial monkey off the back. There's a good old chat actually on that Friday night with the upper in the wall park. Gordon, who was very bullish about his runners of the night, everything needs to be put into the context of how badly he's the mayor ran as a champion hurdle, I suppose, but maybe she just didn't come over to Cheltenham in good spirits. There were sort of reports that she wasn't really clean in connections in the day or two before, right? But Tiopo, his gallop, that I think was kind of seen, he galloped with another horse before Cheltenham along that left sound the other day, and that didn't apparently impress people either. But Gordon was quite sweet on the ballpark chasing home Tiopo. I'd be worried about the ground for Tiopo. I can kind of see why he's reading the betting, and I'm going to take a flyer here on a horse, Mystical Power, who is out of any power, ran so well in this race. But when he won as a novice hurdle on Punchdown last year, he definitely looked like a horse who wanted it a good bit further, maybe 2.5-3 miles. He's obviously the powerful connections, only runner in the race, same connections.
as Annie Powell pretty much, albeit this horse is owned by three of the big men in racing. He could get the trip, which I'd be fairly confident he will get 3 miles, Bugsy. I'd be more worried about the fact that he has run absolute shockers through him this season. He's been given time off, and he ran a blinder at Cheltenham last year. So if Mystical Power around about 20 to 1 can bounce back to form, I feel he could be a bit dangerous all, and Brown will be really, really up his feet. Home by the lead, going back for a fourth time, certainly wouldn't rule him out either for a yard in form.
But that's the thing, Johnny, as well. Just on the ballpark, John, I just cannot get over the price of him. He was sort of, there was any double figure price you wanted there about 2 weeks ago. And he's now, what, clear second favourite, around about 4 to 1 for a horse that people would have thought was a pretemps horse. Is this market a bit, just it doesn't really know what to do, John? Sure it doesn't?
No, that really does, to be honest. It can really provide strange winners. I'm just looking through it here. Like, Cassar de Burde was 33 to 1. Florian Porcher 12 to 1, Lisnagar Oscar 50 to 1, Nichols Canyon 10 to 1, Cole Harden 14 to 1. All of these in the last 10 years, Tom. So don't be afraid to back one that is a big price. And the ballpark, the price is gone. If you fancy the ballpark, you want to be on at least double figure prices going into this. Now, he has won over the course and distance, which is always important. And Sarah de Burley was a horse in the similar colours that did make the progression from a handicap hurdler to a graded horse and win this race, but it would be a pretty big ask. I mean, he's only run what, over 3 miles twice, fourth in the long walk and winning here in October. But to me, if you're looking to back that horse, there's definitely better value elsewhere, not only on the card but in the race, and I think Lucky Place is the value.
Yeah, that's fair. Let's move on to the opening race of the day then. It is the Ryanair Mares Novices Hurdle. Personally, this is one of my bets of the week in the shape of 6.5 for Gavin Cromwell. Johnny, what do you like in the opener? Probably a race you probably don't like as a concept, but what do you like in the race?
I'm actually in agreement there with you, Bugsy. I like 6.5 all along. Maureen has been desperately defending. We've seen some modern runners who have been horrendous this week. Dancing City ran accordingly, and we saw in the long time ago that was not only desperately weak in betting as well, and didn't seem to have quite any responses. And without really information as to why it's happening, you have to find Maureen's weakness has been notable, and the 6.5 means we acknowledge his lack of experience. I do like our nice platform for this as well, because it's almost like a bit closer to flat ground. She's plenty of class, but both perform as well. Can't perform with horses, as expected, dominant all week. So I don't see any negative thing in the horse's favourite. She's put back in front of me. The 4-year-old filly, Joseph's in the race. And, you know, I do respect her. I'm not mad at that before the one to get older horses, but that's not going to back up when it's going to get me out.
Yeah, I fully agree with you there on Galileo Dame. The weight she's getting probably might negate, John. Just, I mean, she's only carrying 10 stone 8, obviously has really eye-catching form with Hello Neighbour last time out, John. I mean, are you with Galileo Dame? Do you think, I mean, there's 24 runners in this with very little, kind of, not a massive amount of form on offer. Do you think it could be for one for 6.5, or is there something, well, surely you've seen something at a bigger price you like, John?
No, Tom, I don't. I think it's like not a race getting involved in from a punting perspective. There's 24 runners, as you say. Look, obviously 6.5 and Galileo Dame are well regarded by their connections. But if you're going in here with huge confidence around horses in a 24 runner race, you need a head examined. Like, we had a 50 to 1 winner here in 2019, Eglantine de Soy, which was a Willie Mullins horse. 10 to 1 winner last year, 16 to 1 winner the year before that. Look, it's a race I'm steering clear of. Look, all I'm looking at here, and there is a lot of positivity around Caroline Bamboo, by the way, for Mark Walsh and William Mullins, about a 10 to 1 shot. Diva Luna was a good horse at Aintree a couple of years ago. So, and there's a lot of money for Bluey this morning, for Harry Skelton riding that, for Emma Lavelle. But to be honest, if you're coming in here with confidence around any of these horses, you're a brave person, because I'm not.
Yeah, maybe they know something that's not written on the card as well. We'll move on to the 2 o'clock then. This is obviously another new race on the card, sort of effectively replacing the Turner's Chase. it's an intriguing contest. You got the likes of Firefox and former stablemate Caldwell Potter, who's been backed over the last couple of weeks. Springwell Bay is your top weight there. Nürburgring for Joseph O'Brien. He certainly looks like he's been plotted for this race. Of course, former Galway hurdle winner. John, this is a tricky old race. What do you make of this novice's handicap chase?
Once again, you're looking at 20 runners in a novice handicap chase where there's going to be a lot of jostling for position. It could be jumping mistakes. Once again, you're very brave to be going into this. So I'm not trying to be some kind of party pooper suggesting that people keep their money in their pockets. But like Answer to Cafe, I'd love to see run well. He's run well at the festival before. It'd be great to see Terence O'Brien from Cork have a winner. John Shinnock rides him. Firefox was obviously a horse at a much better level that has had market support this morning. Springwell Bay, Nürburgring, Asian Master. The jockey, look, I really hope they win for the Costellos, but it is a challenge riding around here in a 20-runner race if you're not riding in every single race from day to day during the week. De Capo, I can't really understand the price of that one when I'm looking at... he won at Leopardstown at Christmas, De Capo, if I remember, on decent enough ground. Like Kay de Bourbon was third, and Kay de Bourbon, Captain Cody. Like, these are decent horses behind De Capo. So if I'm looking at a price here, De Capo... 50-1 looks a bit of a price because I think you'll have his ground if you want a euro each way and something.
Yeah, that's very fair. And given what we've witnessed so far this week, I mean, it wouldn't be the wrong thing to be putting people on some bigger price horses. Johnny, this is a challenging race now. It could have been sort of a clash between Ballyburn and Django Bay. It's not. It's a 20 runner novices handicap. What, do you fancy one in it?
Yeah, the four miler has now become a bit of the trigger's broom race of the festival, where there's so many kind of changes to it. I don't know if it's the same broom anymore. This race might turn into that as well. Although, funnily enough, as JD mentioned there, one of the key players will be amateur ridden. I do feel it is a negative having an inexperienced amateur in a race like this. And you mentioned some of the contenders there, but the answers came for me is quite solid. He was a fair old rider at Nace, but he was mighty impressive that day. And moreover, he ran really well in the Martin Pipe last year. This has been, I imagine, all season long they've been hoping to get him to Cheltenham. And I, like JD, would love to see those connections win. Terence and John, they're real gentlemen. Good handlers as well, and they work well together. John kind of came from almost nowhere to ride Terence, and has showcased his talent over the last sort of 2 years or so now. And the answer to Cafe is quite solid. I wouldn't be mad at Nürburgring at all at the prices. And I do feel that answer to Cafe is solid for all this. It's very, very competitive and something of a pointless race for me if you look at the overall context of Cheltenham.
Yeah, I can hear what you're saying on that. All right, yeah. I think Firefox could be just a class act in this race, to be honest. But let's move on to the Pretemps, an absolute classic dish of the Cheltenham Festival. Jericho de Repine right up near the top of the market. Plenty of support as well for Win Some, Lose Some. Obviously, JP McManus has done well this week. Mark Walsh has had a good week too. And Paddy Roach is only runner of the week. He, of course, had Brazil to win a couple of years ago as well. So the Pretemps, it's a tricky race. Even the way you qualify for it is an art in itself. Johnny, what do you like in the Pretemps?
Yeah, and Arden itself, you're probably right there, Buggy. I would have thought this was one of the toughest races of the entire week. But you know, the Pretemps is a long-standing race in the festival. Carla Terrell, you might remember Dunne Gwib back in 2009 when Cheltenham Bumper and all the hype around him for Philip Fenton the following year in the Supreme when he was obviously turned over. I've kind of followed Carla Terrell's career. I think he won at Gorn at 100-1 last season as a novice, and he has. He's a bit of a blank canvas, I suppose, at 3 miles. The one time he's tried, he's run very well. Phillips had a good season as well, has been in the wars himself, obviously, over the years, with the suspension and so forth. So it'll be interesting to see if he's interviewed after this, if he's asked any hard questions about his past. But I find him very nice to deal with. And I think Carl Littrell is quite solid here for Brian Hayes.
What about you, John?
I agree with Johnny. This is a... This is a real positive. Carl de Terrell, maybe, I think he's unexposed. Like, you had Desmore House behind him the last time at Punchestown. This was in, November? And obviously he's run since at Limerick as well. But if you're going to have a Euro each way, maybe Carl de Terrell. I'm not like jumping on Johnny's back here and trying to nick his tip or anything, but I do agree with what he's saying. And Philip Fenton is a shrewd handler. Remember all the horses he had, like last installment over fences, and he'd really good horses for Jigginstown for quite a while. And it'd be great to see arrive Sir Clive. I remember a really good bumper horse for Philip Fenton. He used to train horses for my cousin as well. So it'd be great to see Philip back here. He's a great amateur rider. Obviously, rode a lot of the JP and John Magnier horses back in the day, like 20 years ago. But Carl Terrell, I'd agree with Johnny, is worth a year. When you're looking at the market support at the moment, Jericho de Repenay and Winsome Lusum are negatives. DRT Art, like Thomas Cooper had a placed horse in the bumper in Shuttle Diplomacy yesterday, and DRT Art, Turn and Power Roach, taking five off, is the favourite. Fever Dancer has been well-backed. Pattern Merchant, money for him, and money for Dotty the Great as well, which would be an emotional win. So that's what's attracting the market support for the Pertemps, Tom.
Yeah, we'll move from the Pertemps onto the plate then at 4:40 this afternoon. Jaguar is definitely one of those talking horses, but just for me, you know, we're intrigued to see how he gets on. Another Jake McManus owned one, but he's definitely one of the talking horses. This is a tricky race for me because there's so many horses kind of on the way down to the you're trying to find a progressive one. There's a lot of horses sort of on the way down. You're wondering how much class they retain. Johnny, what do you like in the plate?
Quite like the company sergeant, Bugsy, under Conor Sean Wallach, who just over a year since he turned his attention to the jumps sphere, having done well on the flat, and he's been teaming up with Gavin Cromwell. He has to revert to slightly higher chase mark. He's not that strong, Gavin, though his horses are in very good form. And I think he's pretty solid, to be honest, around about the 8-10-1 mark. The likes of Ginny Zesty in the race. I mean, not much a week for Paul Nicholls so far, so he's quite interesting. But I do like the company sergeant, Jerry Trey.
Yeah, John, what about you? Well, I personally kind of like Shake Him Up Harry. He's very close to his mark from last year when he won. What do you like in the race?
Well, Johnny, the company sergeant is best price 11-2 now, so he's been backed heavily. Personal Ambition has got Ben Jones, the stable jockey, on him. So he is definitely unexposed off 10-8, given he beat Django Bay over hurdles at Kelso. If he can jump better, he's got to jump better. But if he can jump around well, get into rhythm, he's 16-1. He's one of my charity bets, Personal Ambition. That was once in the hands of Barry Geraghty. And for a repeat win for Jones and Pauline, I'm going for Personal Ambition and this one 16-1 each way.
Yeah, notable that he does jump off, Shake Him Up Harry. In the with a finish off in the Kim Muir, and Walking on Air has just been an almighty punt. Obviously, is now ridden by Michael O'Sullivan's brother, Alan. So that just adds a layer of, you know, poignancy and mystery and intrigue to this. Walking on Air could have been very competitive in a Pertemps a couple of years ago. Obviously, he has left Nicky Henderson's yard since. Is there anything for you in the Kim Muir, Johnny?
I like Walking on Air as well for all you Joy Division fans out there. And Walking on Air could be quite well named here. I mean, what a conclusion to day four. You couldn't make up day two in the sense of honouring Michael O'Sullivan. What a conclusion to the whole thing were on day three, rather, where his brother twin and Walking on Air. And I'm not that surprised he's been backed. You know, I don't really get the hype around the favourite, and Walking on Air is one. The last day was eye-catching when probably he was one, and he's really good back form as a novice herder as well, and retains plenty of potential. So maybe both of my last two selections, the price is kind of gone, but you can see where they've been backed.
Yeah, absolutely. And our personal connection as well to Walking on Air is his half-sister is in the field beside my house in Foal. What about you, John?
I'm going to go for Mint Boy. He's only 7. I think he's progressive. He's won over 3 miles of Ferry House. He tuned up for this with a decent enough performance at Punchestown. I think he's got a really good amateur in Barry O'Neill on him. I'm really hoping that Barry has a winner at Cheltenham. It's never happened. He's one of the top point-to-point riders in the country. Look, we had Derek O'Connor and Jamie Codd ride many winners here. So I really hope that it's Barry's day, because I remember Winged Leader just absolutely did everything right, but just got done on the line. He had Stumptown that got beaten by Angel's Dawn. I think it was a Disco Teca or something, a Paul Nolan horse. So I think if he's due a bit of luck, it's today. He's riding for Gavin Cromwell. The yard is a great form. He's my nap of the day each way, Mint Boy, if he can get into a good rhythm. Look, he can't also discount Midnight Our Fred, because John Flavin has been bringing this horse here for quite a while. I think the ground will suit him. He ran really well in the Paddy Power at Christmas, and he's definitely one that I think if you like him, you won't get a bad run for your money. But I'm going to go for Mint Boy, and hopefully Barry can break his stuff today.
Yeah, that will be a lovely moment. We'll go with our best bet of the day. And John, is that where you're sticking?
Yeah, I'm sticking with Mint Boy. I only got the three. Mint Boy each way is my nap, and got Lucky Place each way and Personal Ambition each way as well.
Good stuff. Johnny, bet of the day?
6.5 for PBO.
You go with 6.5?
6.5 is my nap. Yeah, keep up the good form of Gavin Cromwell, who's a very strong hand tomorrow as well, and may have a say in the Gold Cup. I won't be around in the morning, but keep an eye out for another thinking to be much tomorrow as well.
Good stuff. And Johnny, I'm rowing in with you. I'm with 6.5 as well in the Mayor's Novices Hurdle. And I think Tia Hupo is bulletproof in the stairs. I don't get the negativity towards him. Anyway, guys, thank you so much. Thanks to Johnny Ward. Thanks to John Duggan. I've been Tom Malone. Make sure you join us again for the Friday edition of the Cheltenham Show, when it will be Gold Cup Day, with thanks to William Hill.
The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Proper value from a proper bookmaker. Every day at Cheltenham. 18+gamblingcare.ie.
Hi, I'm Cyndi Lauper. My scalp was covered with psoriasis, which could lead to psoriatic arthritis. But Cosentyx treats both.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis 300 mg dose and adults with active psoriatic arthritis 150 mg dose. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some were fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at Cosentyx.com or 1-844-COSENTYX.
Cosentyx works for me.
Ask your doctor about Cosentyx.